Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Open Mic Session. Today's topic is Best Practices for the Installation and Updates of WebSphere Application Server. My name is Joseph Lam, and this session will give you a chance to speak to our panel of experts on a variety of subjects related to today's topic. Moving on to slide number 2. In today's Open Mic session, we will start off by introducing to you our panel of experts for the day. We will then move on and give you a brief introduction to best practices for the installation and updates of WebSphere Application Server. Next, our panel of experts will answer questions that were pre-submitted to us through email. Then, we will open the lines for a live question and answer period. Finally, the session will end with a summary of the Open Mic session. Moving on to slide number 3. At this time, I would like to introduce to you our panel of experts for today's call. Our panel consists of Joe Merzloff, WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support.
Thank you, Joseph. I am Joe Merzloff with IBM WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support. I've been working in this organization for about 7 years now, and for the entirety of my adventure here, I've been acting as the subject matter expert for installation and update-related subjects.
Thank you, Joe. And our other panelist is Mike Hill, WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support.
Hello. This is Mike Hill. Like Joe, I've been with WebSphere Application Level 2 Support for about 8 years. Been in the industry for about over 20 years. As well, been a subject matter expert for the install and upgrade of the WebSphere application product.
Thank you, Mike. Now, before we get to the question and answer period, our panel would like to give you a technical overview of the topic. Moving on to slide number 4, and please go ahead, Joe.
Thank you, Joseph. Today we'll be discussing WebSphere Application Server version 6.1 and 7.0 installation on distributed operating systems. We'll be discussing topics such as preparing the system for installation, running the installer in graphical or silent mode, locating logs or other troubleshooting-related data in case there's an installation issue, and we'll also talk about topics such as making backups of the installation. Please proceed to slide 5. Our focus will be on WebSphere Application Server for distributed operating systems, meaning AIX, HPUX, Linux, Solaris, and Windows, and other IBM WebSphere products such as WebSphere Portal Server and IBM Commerce products are outside the scope of today's session. We'll be focusing mainly on the application server product itself. Please proceed to slide 6. We'll also talk about updating the product using the Update Installer utility. And we'll delve into topics such as where to find the maintenance packs, which maintenance packs you should obtain, how to install and use the Update Installer to apply maintenance packs, how to roll back a maintenance pack, or even locating logs in case there's a problem. We can now proceed to slide 7. Okay. So we begin by delving into our pre-submitted questions here. Mike will be handling our first question here.
Thank you, Joe. Question 1 was, I need to install a WebSphere application server system which does not have a graphical console. How can I install WebSphere application server when I only have access to Telnet or SSH console? This does happen a lot with our clients, especially in a production system. proceed to slide 8. So the very first thing with any installation, whether it be silent or using the graphical interface, is you must prepare your operating system before you install the WebSphere product. There is a link on this slide that will take you to our Info Center, and then you just find the OS that you're installing to and read through the different directions. Mostly what it is just adding packages to, say, your Linux or Solaris. For AIX and Windows, there's not a whole lot to do to prepare your OS. But, you should always go to that Info Center and check those requirements first. A silent installation is just nothing more than an alternative method from using the GUI. So basically you're just going to download the image into a temporary directory, and then within the temporary directory you're going to uncompress the image and locate the sample response file called My Response File. Under the image's home directory, it will have a directory called WAS, and you'll look in there, and the response file will be there. Just make a copy of that response file before you change it. It's very important. The next thing that is the biggest thing you could do is review the entire response file before you make any changes to it. It is long. It can do a lot of different things other than just installing the product. And so it's very important to understand the order in which you have to fill out the response file as well as the things that you are selecting. Please move to slide 9. So we're going to edit the copy in your favorite editor on the target operating system. You're going to read the directions within the response file. And choose the appropriate values that reflect the parameters for your system. The response file contains a description of each option. Now, as we move through the response file, you will notice certain parameters such as disable OS prereq checking. This is an option in the response file to bypass the operating system prereq checking. As our product is released, we release it with the current versions of the OS, and as we know, the OS does grow along with the WebSphere product. So, for instance, in Windows, we may have released the product, with Windows 2003 Service Pack 2, and now Service Pack 3 is out and you've installed it. The update installer will flag that it's not at a level expected. In a GUI, we could just hit next, but with a silent install, you must uncomment this disable OS prereq checking. Also, you'd want to uncomment the disable non-block prereq checking to continue even if the prereq checking fails. It will log warning messages in your log file, so you're still aware those issues did occur. And then to create a profile at the time of installation, you're going to select a profile type. So there are parameters for installing the product, and then with that product install, you can create a profile. And depending on the profile type selected, additional options may or may not be specified, you know, to set up the configuration of the environment to accept the profile. Also, having a profile type of none is acceptable. So you could just install the binaries and then create a profile afterwards. Enabling the administrative security during the installation is recommended. It does make it slightly a little bit more complicated. And to configure the administrative security, an administrative username and password must be specified within the response file. So although the installer allows the option to create a profile during the install, for production environments, it's better to avoid the profile creation during the install. Instead, just install the product without a profile, apply the fix packs to the product, and then use the profile creation tool to create profiles. This ensures that the profiles are created using the newer, improved code and saves time overall because existing profiles do not need to be updated by the update installer tool. please go to slide 10. So if the silent install does not exceed, check the temporary log directories for details. They're located on the current user's home directory in a subdirectory called Wise Logs. Each product's information center has complete details on this topic, and I've provided a few links there for you for 6.1 and 7.0. Please go to slide 11.
Thank you, Mike. This is Joe. I'll be handling our second pre-submitted question. Our submitter asked, I'm planning to install WebSphere Application Server on a new system. How can I determine if the operating system is supported? Proceed to slide 12, and we'll have some information about that. WebSphere Application Server has a support portal that has an official list of detailed system requirements. We have the full URL on slide 12. The requirements are listed per operating system and hardware architecture. In other words, there are categories for Linux on x86 64 kernels, HPUX on Itanium, Windows, or many others. Please proceed to slide 13. As Mike mentioned a moment ago, we do support higher operating system levels than the ones that are listed on that page. So in general, if you are in a situation such as running Red Hat Linux Enterprise version 5, and our support page lists Red Hat Enterprise Linux 4, well, you are supported on Red Hat Enterprise Linux version 5. But to be absolutely sure of this, check out the main support page that I've linked on the earlier slide and look for a section called Unsupported Configurations. If your operating system happens to be listed on that page, then it is not supported. Otherwise, you can assume that the operating system level is supported as long as it exceeds the minimum level that's listed on our support page. And again, as Mike mentioned, when you're doing installations, especially of WAS version 6.1, you'll get a warning message that your operating system is not supported even in situations where you exceed the requirements. Now, you can safely bypass this warning either by clicking the next button or by changing the options in the silent installer that we recommended in our first pre-submitted question. Now, for details about this, in case you need a little more assurance, we have a URL listed here on slide 13 that explains the full story about that prerequisite checker. All right, we can proceed to slide 14.
Okay, Drew, thanks. Our next question is, I want to update WebSphere server to the latest version. Where can I find the latest fix packs? What do I download? Next slide, please. The best helpful resource that I could recommend for this is the recommended fixes for WebSphere application server. A link's been provided here. It's a very comprehensive list that has links to the latest upgrades associated to feature packs, fix lists, and other tools. It also has tentative release dates for our next planned fix release, or fix pack release, I should say. And there also is a brief listing of the latest available fix packs. A link has been provided there also for quick viewing. So once you have navigated to a fix pack page, you select your operating system from the tabs listed at the top of the page. Slide 16. And when upgrading the product, it is always recommended that you upgrade the SDK along with upgrading WebSphere itself and to keep these versions at the same level. And if a feature pack has been installed on top of, say, 6.1 or 7, then you must upgrade both WebSphere and the feature pack to that same level. Now, I did mention 7-0, and I should have probably backed out away from that, because with 6-1, we did have a one-to-one mapping between, you know, our feature packs and also with the web sphere. With 7.0 and the feature packs that are there, the versioning is different, but there are prerequisites that you need to be aware of that WebSphere must be at in order to install certain levels of the feature pack. So also you want to make sure to download an update that matches your OS and bit level of the installed WebSphere product. So for 32 and 64-bit editions available for most fix packs, you download the fix patch which matches your WAS install, whether it be 32-bit or 64-bit. Slide 17, please. So the fix packs are installed using the update installer, and I provided you a link here with our latest update, 7.0 update installer. Slide 18.
Thank you, Mike. We'll be moving to our pre-submitted question 4. Our question asks, now that I have installed WebSphere Application Server, I want to take a backup. What files should I take backups of? Slide 19, please. The very short answer is take a backup of everything, but really what encompasses everything? Well, specifically, what I'm talking about are backing up all of the files under the product's installation directory. In addition, all of the files for every configuration profile. Generally, profiles are created under the application server directory, but really, profiles can be created anywhere you're comfortable with, and some other IBM products by default will create their profiles outside WebSphere's directory. So be sure to keep track of where your profiles are and back them up entirely. Also, back up any external resources such as ear files or SIB resources with file store repositories. And then finally, I want to stress that you also need to take a backup of the .NIF registry file. This file is something that a lot of folks are not aware of. This file is important because it keeps track of all the WebSphere application server installs in the system. The location of the .NIF registry varies. I've listed several examples there, but if we proceed to slide 20, we'll talk more about the .NIF registry in a minute. The update installer has a rollback feature to uninstall fix packs and restore the product to the previously installed version. So in a sense, you have kind of a built-in backup with the update installer. You can always roll back to a previous version. There's also the backup config command, which can back up individual configuration profiles. But despite the availability of these WebSphere-related tools, we still strongly recommend taking a full backup of the system or at least all the files that were mentioned on the previous slide. That's because a disaster recovery plan is really in your hands when you get down to it. So please, especially on production systems, make sure you take a backup of everything related to WebSphere. Slide 21, please. We have a link to our must-gather document, which describes which information to collect related to update installer and install problems with the product. And there happens to be a section of that tech note that talks about where those .NIF registry files are. So if you're interested in taking backups and you're trying to track down where that .NIF registry file is, please refer to that URL. Now, finally, one last tip that I've learned from experience over the years. If you have a system administrator handling your system backup, or if you're designing the backup rules yourself, be sure that the backup rules allow for complete backup. Don't exclude files that happen to contain the word core or match other characteristics in an effort just to save disk space. You might inadvertently end up excluding critical product files, which also happen to use the word core in them, and if you exclude those files, your backup is really no good. So be absolutely sure your backup is complete. We'll move on to slide 22.
Question 5, I want to install the product using a non-root or non-administrative user. Are there any special steps I need to take to accomplish this? Slide 23, please. So with the WebSphere 6.1 and 7.0, it can be installed as non-root or non-administrator in both a silent or an interactive mode. You must have read, write, and execute access to a few locations in order for this to happen properly. The system temporary directories, like /temp, the user's home directory, the directory to which the product is actually going to be installed to, and on Unix, executive privileges required in order to load libraries extracted into temp directories. Slide 24, please. So for existing installations, the root or non-root installer who owns the currently installed WebSphere is the only user that can perform upgrades or removals from that installation. So it is very specific to the ID, and if you installed it as non-root, that same non-root user must do all subsequent updates or uninstalls. Non-root installers see a panel in the installation user interface in the GUI itself after the prereq checking has completed, and that panel clearly summarizes the limitations that exist for a non-root user installation. I highly recommend that you read through that carefully so that you understand clearly what the limitations are. This is also listed in the Info Center as well. Slide 25, please. So other than really just being aware and informed of the limitations and considerations of a non-root installation, there's really nothing that you have to do before installing the product. And as I said previously, this is a link to the article within the Information Center that details out the limitations and considerations. So please do review that before making that decision. Slide 26, please.
We'll move on to our sixth pre-submitted question. Why are the installation procedures different for WAS 7.x feature packs? Some use Installation Manager, and some use Update Installer, and some use its own type. Also, once I install these feature packs, not all of them are listed as part of the version info command. Can't that be made a standard which will be easier to support from administrative perspective? Slide 27, please. I think this is a very interesting and deep question, and I'm very glad it was submitted because it gives me an opportunity to talk a little bit about our feature pack strategy for WAS version 7. Some of the folks in our audience may have seen by now that WAS 7.0 feature packs are taking a new direction. They use a new installer architecture and a new install utility, which we call the Installation Manager, which manage these installs. Now, IBM Installation Manager has new features as compared to our old installers for the WebSphere application server product. One such feature is the ability to install fixes from repositories on the web. This is something that came to fruition after the initial release of WAS version 7. Now, future major releases of WAS will integrate Installation Manager will integrate its own installation process with the installation architecture completely. Slide 28, please. this affects all the new installation technologies for version 7. While the original version 7 product installer still continues to use our legacy install architecture. So this puts us in a situation where we're using a mixture of the original update installer and installer program for WAS version 7.0 and the new installation manager for WAS 7.0 feature packs. A lot of folks have asked, why have we done this? Why have we chosen a direction where we're mixing installation technologies for the product? Well, as I mentioned, Installation Manager and the direction we're going came to fruition after WAS version 7 was released. And we found that this mixture of install technologies for version 7 was the best way to transition to the new and better install architecture without disrupting our existing WAS 7.0 installer. Slide 29, please. Now let's touch on the second part of that question about version info. Version info is a utility in all of our versions of WebSphere Application Server that, as the name implies, show you the currently installed version of the product and associated feature packs. All version 7 feature packs are intended to integrate with WAS version 7, and their data is displayed when running the version info utility. But we do have an exception here, and I believe this is what the question was really geared towards. We have a feature pack named the Feature Pack for Dynamic Scripting, and this actually does not display information in version info. Part of the background behind this is because this feature pack is based on WebSphere Smash, and that technology used a different install architecture than WAS before we had brought these two products together. And this is something that when our clients bring it to our attention, just like this question has, we definitely give this to our developers as feedback so that we hopefully take a more consistent direction with future feature packs. We can move to slide 30, please.
The next question submitted was, how can we apply fix packs without actually copying the .pack file into our maintenance directory under the update installer? We have multiple environments with WebSphere installation, and copying fix packs manually is a tough task. I know we can do it if we have a SIM, which is the Centralized Installation Manager, installed, which will be able to push the software directly, but we want to confirm by asking the question, or are there any other alternatives to perform a fixed pack install? Slide 31, please. So fixed packs for 6.1 and 7.0 are distributed in the form of a .pack file, which is installed using the update installer utility. So the update installer documentation recommends copying the .pack file to the maintenance subdirectory before installing, but it's only a recommendation. It is acceptable to install a fix pack from a location within the file system, including map drives, Windows, or mounted NFS directories, but with the NFS directories, you could possibly see a performance impact. Slide 32, please. The Centralized Installation Manager allows the fix packs to be distributed to remote nodes using what we call a push method. It does require that the deployment manager you're working with a deployment manager edition of the software, and this is only for 7.0 WebSphere. It's not used for the 7.0 feature packs that Joe was just describing in where the installation manager is used. And you still need the update installer utility for updating the deployment manager itself. So the deployment manager must be updated first, then once that's done, you can import fixed packs and, like I was saying, push these down to remote nodes. Slide 33, please.
All right. And as a side note here, I wanted to mention that this issue, this situation illustrates one of the reasons why version 7 feature packs and the future major WAS releases are transitioning away from using the update installer. What we're getting at in answering this question is that with update installer, your .pack file, whether it's an interim fix or a fixed pack, has to be accessible from a file system. And for best performance, it really should be copied to a local file system. Whereas with Installation Manager, it has both a pull and push installation method. In other words, you could either install from a local file system or you could install from a web repository. And as we had mentioned on the previous slide, our terminology here has an unfortunate coincidence. We speak of the IBM Installation Manager as the tool for version 7 that's used to install feature packs. We also have a feature inside WebSphere Application Server 7.0 called Centralized Installation Manager. And these things have similar concepts, but they really accomplish two different things. And here in question 7, we were talking about some of the limitations of the SIM tool and how it would not assist with the situation if you have feature packs or things like that involved. All right, we can move on to slide 34 now.
Thank you to our panel of experts for answering the pre-submitted questions. At this point in time, Carissa, we would like to open the lines for a live question and answer period.
The first question comes from Steve Reed. Your line is open.
Hi, Joe and Mike. Thanks for the presentation. It's been very good. In question 3 and question 6, you talked a lot about feature packs and fixed packs. Those terms are very similar, or sound very similar. I was wondering if you could take just a minute to clarify the differences between what is a feature pack, what is a fixed pack.
Sure. Thank you for that question. That is a very good point. They are very similar terms. They actually sound very much alike, especially in a presentation like this. A fixed pack is really a package with patches. It's maintenance code intended to upgrade a product from an earlier version to a newer version. For example, you would use what we would call Fixed Pack 33 to upgrade WebSphere Application Server 6.1 to version 6.1.0.33. Fixed packs are installed using the Update Installer utility, and in this case I'm talking about fixed packs for the WebSphere Application Server product itself. And we can contrast that with feature packs. Feature packs are really like a mini product that you can install on top of WebSphere Application Server to extend the product's functionality. Fixed packs just introduce code fixes to the existing product, and generally fixed packs don't introduce very many new features. But feature packs themselves are considered to be complete 100% collections of new large features for the product. Now, I should also mention that we have fixed packs for the feature packs. These are specific fixed packs with code to update what's delivered by a feature pack. I hope that helps clarify things. Do you have follow-up questions regarding this?
No, that's great. Thank you.
Sure thing.
Chung, your line is open.
Yes. Hi. This question is for Joe. I would like to set up the environment, actually do environment to run the WASP version 6.1 and 7.0 parallel install. Is that a best practice? And is there any recommendation from you guys on this, how to go to do this at the best practice?
Sure. Thank you for that. So it sounds like what you're talking about is something we officially call coexistence, where you have multiple versions of WebSphere application server on the same system. And yes, we do support that. That's fine. There actually really aren't very many things that you need to do in order to accomplish this. Each version of WebSphere application server generally peacefully coexists with the other versions on the same system. During configuration, if you intend to share resources, that might complicate matters slightly, but it shouldn't affect the installation of the product itself. You do, of course, need more disk space to be taken up, and you also need to keep track of the ports that each product is using, because just like when you have multiple application servers for a single version on the system, when you have multiple application servers for multiple versions, you need to be sure that their ports don't conflict. You just can't have two things trying to listen on the same port at the same time. WebSphere version 6.1 and 7.0 do have some features that try and help prevent port conflicts when you're initially creating a profile, but then after a profile is created, it's more up to you to make sure that any additional application servers that you create don't conflict with your environment. The last thing that I can think of for this is something that we delved into on one of our earlier slides. If you install the product as a particular user, then you need to continue to use that same particular user to update the product in the future using the update installer. And I just happen to mention this in this question because I've seen situations where folks use different users to manage different versions of WebSphere on the same system. And that's fine, but if you do that sort of thing, you just need to be aware of the fact that you've got to be consistent with using the same user to install and then later update the product. I hope that covers things for you. Do you have any follow-ups on that question?
No, that's good. Thank you.
Sure thing.
And at this time, there are no further questions.
Thank you, Carissa. And thank you, everyone, for your participation in the live Q&A period. At this point in time, I would like to move on to slide number 36 and pass the presentation over to Joe for a summary of today's session.
Thanks, Joseph. Well, today we delved into topics regarding WebSphere application server on distributed operating systems with general tips for best practices for installing the product, maintaining the product using the update installer, discussing some of our future direction with the IBM Installation Manager, as well as features such as the Centralized Installation Manager, and some best practice tips for using the update installer and navigating our IBM web portal for obtaining those fixes.
Thank you, Joe. At this time, we will conclude the open mic session.